Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Friends, we're sure glad you're here this evening, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And you know why we're here? We're here because we want to raise your expectations. We want to encourage you. We want to be the program that you love to turn on because you laugh, you learn, and you feel like you're part of a wonderful family. And that's where I'm headed right now. You all know what our team is about. You know why we're on the air. You know who we are. Dr. Paul Hall is one of our hosts, retired pastor, theologian. He got called actually to another meeting tonight, and we're going to miss him tonight. He's very apologetic. We said we will let him go just this one week, and Rob's going to fly over in his F-14 and talk to him about it. But anyway, he won't be here tonight, but he gave you his best. And also we have, as you know, Naval Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen coming to us from Arizona. Rob, as you know, flew a F-14 Tomcat. He was one of those men who protected and served our nation. Rob has been in all kinds of things, helping the government to protect us. And
Well, this is my expanded new Naval Academy ring because my finger was choking and I had to get it larger. So... along with my head, larger.
Wisdom and maturity. That's what that was. That's what it was. Yeah. Nancy, you've done a good job. See how far he's come along? And
her beatings are really effective.
Yeah.
Nancy, yeah.
Nancy, there's always so much you can do.
Only so much. Folks, Nancy's a wonderful lady. As you know, if you're one of our regular watchers and listeners, she does a great job in working with us and working with Rob. And we love and appreciate them, just like Dr. Paul and Kelly. And then also, we now have our special lady and man, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. They have now moved to Georgia. So from here on, you can relate to Stephanie as Raising Expectations version of the Georgia Peach.
And that's what y'all. And then you got to say y'all a lot, yeah, right?
That works out pretty good.
Yeah. Raising Expectations, y'all.
That's right, y'all.
Right?
And they moved to Georgia. We're so glad that you're safe and sound. Stephanie is a health and wellness coach. It's just an incredible job. And as we always say, and people come back to us with the same things about them, she doesn't just teach you how to eat and be well, but she also teaches you how to walk with the Lord and what it means to realize who you are on the inside. That makes all the difference in the world. And she did concede that fudge is okay at Christmas, right, Rob? So we're good on that
one. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's natural.
Gotta
stuff.
Have some.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Gotta have it. So that kind of makes up the team that we are so pleased to be a part of. We feel God's brought us together for a purpose, and we look forward to having you with us each and every week and to the wonderful things that you text and talk to us on during the week. Have we got a special guest for you tonight? We have a lady that I know you've watched or heard, and Rob has contacted her. She is absolutely phenomenal. She's incredibly shy, but we are working on getting her out of her shell a little tonight. So she gets to know Rachel. You're really going to be blessed by this. Here's what we're going to do. We've got some questions. We can't wait to hear from you. We're going to show a special clip right now about her. And then Rob, would you just kind of introduce her for us for everybody listening in? Let's watch.
Oh, I don't want to. No, I will. Of course. Yeah. No, of course I will.
And speak on rebellion tonight, Rachel.
Right. I'm on it.
This is how the show is, Rachel.
Okay.
Sorry.
All very right. All good.
It just comes out. Yep.
DJ, we're ready. If you are on that, actually, good.
Millions of people out of work. and yet people hiring can't get people to work because people are being paid to stay home and not work. High gas prices and gas shortages. Inflation really starting to set in. Forget peace in the Middle East. Israel is under attack. Iran is emboldened again. They actually surrounded our U.S. warships just the other day. Drugs are pouring into our country through the southern border. And human trafficking is definitely up. Thousands and then thousands of migrant children at the southern border alone, without their parents, all alone. Civil unrest, lots of civil unrest. Lumber prices are up. Couldn't build a home if you wanted to right now. Cyber attacks on our U.S. oil pipelines. No one holding communist China responsible for this last year and a half. But all of this is okay. It's okay. It's okay. Because we don't have the mean tweets, right? No mean tweets. I mean, I think it's important to note how terrible the mean tweets were, okay? They're horrible.
I love her. I love Rachel, and I'm sorry, Nancy. It's all platonic, yeah, and really professional, totally fine. Of course. As you may be aware, Rachel's our kind of girl, and she has a website, and I want to make sure the entire earth knows. She's at www.conservativemama.com. I say again, for possible corrections, www.conservativemama.com. And not only does she have a lot of great stuff, she has a lot of her videos, which are also on, do I say Dr. Joe Brand X, that video thing that we can't.
Brand X.
Yeah, Brand X. Okay, along with, now she'll finally be on BBS Radio. One of the things that I really fell for her was, and by the way, Rachel, I started watching you months and months and months ago. I just thought you were fantastic. And now, she may not necessarily have a PhD in chemical engineering from MIT, but what she does have is an incredible background in, how do I say this, acting? Is that a, it's a skill.
Theater, yep.
It's an acquired skill. Acting. That's right. And she takes full advantage of those skills. And I think that's one of the reasons why she's so popular. Not only do you see her, you know, the way she is in her clip, but she'll play multiple characters and have different, you know, hair pieces, and just have dialogues with certain people on. And it's just beautiful. In addition to all those short clips, she also has, is it weekly, Rachel, a weekly vlog?
I try. With all my mom stuff, I try to do a weekly just vlog kind of breakdown of what's going on in the world. So,
yeah, which is also, you know, on that Brand X video channel that we can discuss here. But in addition to that, and it's definitely worth listening to, even if it's like 30, 40 minutes long, because she'll talk about a myriad of things. Most of it's very pertinent. Most of it's very relevant to both current events and to our biblical faith. And she manages to combine all of this in, you know, combining humor and seriousness and knowing when to go from one to the other. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Speaking of beautiful things, one of the most beautiful things I read, Rachel, was when you, and I guess this was, what, 9 years ago when you had your first baby, and you wrote on your website the reason why you became the conservative mama, and it had to do with your dad running for Congress.
Yeah. Yes. That's how it all started. I think we all have those moments in our life that just kind of trigger a wake-up call. And to be honest with you, I was not involved in politics, or I was very naive when people would talk about politics or legislation or policy.
Like I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I would just try to like avoid the conversation because I felt stupid. I felt dumb. And I think a lot of people, you know, you avoid conversations when you really don't know much about the subjects. And so my dad, years ago in 2012, he ran for Congress and I was 3 months pregnant when he announced. And I just assumed that he was going to win. I was very naive. I didn't know that 93% of incumbents get reelected. I had no idea that we were reelecting people that were creating the problems in Washington to go solve the problems they create. And I was just kind of an idiot in that whole world. And so I thought he was going to win. When he didn't win, it broke my heart because my dad is like my hero. I have a great relationship with my father. And I didn't understand it. And I wanted to understand. And so I started to really research and got really passionate about term limits and trying to kind of drain the swamp, clean the swamp in some way. I think lobbyists control a lot of what we see, big corporations, people go to Washington and they're all gung ho to, you know, change the country for the good. And then they get there and they are kind of like bought up in a way. They have a lobbyist come and say, hey, I'll fund your next campaign if you just do what we want you to do. And big corporations the same way. And before you know it, these great people are compromised and they're no longer there for their constituents, but they're there for their lobbyists and big corporations. It's a giant mess. It's so frustrating to me. And so I dove in and I started blogging. I started Conservative Mama in 2012. And I found that having to write about subjects forced me to learn about them. And so I think a lot of moms and dads out there, we get busy and you're running errands, you're doing, you know, school projects, you're taking kids to after school activities. You don't have time to really figure out what's going on. And I wanted to figure out what's going on and give it kind of a quick breakdown to moms and dads that are too busy to just kind of alert them to what's going on and how to get involved and to be involved and to speak up and take back some of this ground that's been stolen. So,
yeah, and that's beautiful and perfect. I think you're spot on. And I think one of the problems we have in America is that most Americans are in fact too busy to pay much attention. And the politicians in Washington take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And so when voting time comes along, the incumbents have an incredible advantage because as most people go through their lives, well, they may know the name of their congressperson, the senator, because they heard them on the news. But they don't want change themselves. So, you know, you've got a problem where people come to Washington wanting to change things, but they end up being changed. And on the other hand, you have the voting constituency that may or may not be happy about the way things are going, but they're thinking, well, my congressman or woman or senator, they're fine. Everybody else is wrong, right? You're faced with that dilemma of having to pay attention. And those who don't pay attention, I think we're seeing the end results of that, unfortunately, right now, as you are well aware, ma'am.
Totally. Oh, yes. I think, and I was actually in the car with my kids today, bringing them home from school, and we were talking politics. Probably, I mean, they're young, but they're very aware of what's going on, way more than I was. I didn't know anything when I was, you know, a kid like their age. But my 9-year-old son's like, he goes to a very conservative school. And so he's, you know, around other students that are talking about Israel and what's going on with Israel and Iran and Hamas. And he's trying to understand, you know, it's in a simple way, what's going on over there. And he goes, man, it's really become a mess since Biden, you know, got into the White House. And I was like, yeah. He goes, do you think other people will notice that? And then maybe they'll change their mind about why they voted for him. And I was like, that's the goal. Like, that is the goal. And I said, I'm really impressed that he, you know, brought like that people might be getting aware or more aware as it kind of gets worse, which is horrible. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it has to get darker in order for people to see the light. Mm-hmm. I always like I brought this up several times on my own vlog, but I could turn a flashlight on in the middle of a room that's totally lit and no one's going to see it. Like, it's not. But if you turn all the lights off and I turn the flashlight on, you're going to see it. And sometimes, you know, people that have just had their head in the sand or they're not really aware, sometimes there's some things that have to trigger a response or to get them to wake up and to get them to kind of to start to see. So I think we're starting to move into that right now. So
I'm hoping for that.
You know, it's interesting that, yeah, it's interesting what you guys are saying that, you know, as long as they're not thinking and they're too busy doing everything else, that they can pull things by them. Now that we are thinking, they must have figured out that what you're saying and what we're holding fast on is getting through, because now they're trying to take away total free speech. They're blocking everything. And what the real truth is, we have to find different ways to get through. Doug Weed was talking to us about this. He's on Newsmax every week, and he was saying how we are now coming up with a myriad of ways to get the truth out to people that will not be stopped. Rob often speaks about free speech, and we get upset about that. But you are one of the most unique ways, huh, guys, that we can get the message out. What you do and what you say, you know, you can't turn off your YouTubes. You just can't turn them off. Once you start, nobody can flip it or change, because you really have this gift to bring in an audience, because they're wondering, is she really saying this? Is she really? No, really? Is she? God's given you a great gift, Rachel. And you're talking to an old pastor of what? A long time, 50 years here now. And we do a lot of big drama things, everything. We had a large thing in our church. But you really have a gift. And we want you to know, like we've mentioned, that we're praying for you, because God really is using you. Stephanie, I'll bet that lady to lady, I know you're going to love Stephanie. You got to meet her down here. I bet you got a question for her.
Well, I have a comment. You crack me up. I love, you do have a gift of mixing truth and humor together, right? And I think it's interesting, because a lot of conservatives don't speak up. And I think especially a lot of conservative women, we tend to be a little bit quieter. And so I love that you're building this platform, because I think the more we see that as an example, the more we're going to do it ourselves, right? And that it is our responsibility to get educated on these things. My kids know more about what's going on half the time than I do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Right? Yeah. No, I mean, it was years ago. I remember you get hit when you stick your head out, right? Like when you start to speak up. And I think a lot of times that prohibits people from just taking that stand. But it was years ago. I remember I was in the kitchen, and I was, you know, I've had family that has like intervened and said, please stop doing this. You have to stop. You know, this is causing, it's too much controversy. You're creating controversy, like just be quiet. And I just knew in my heart, I had to keep going. And I've had threats. I've had to call the police. And I remember standing in the kitchen, it was years ago, and I was like crying, you know, I'm emotional. I'm an emotional person. I'm an actress. And my husband, he said, Rachel, he's like, you have to realize that if you're going to stick your head out and start speaking, then people are going to try to come for your head. And he's like, you have to make a decision if you're going to take it or if you're not going to take it. And then stop talking if you're so easily like hurt by it. And it you know, from that husband wife conversation, it made me think, I can't stop. So I have to learn how to not let it get to me. So I stopped reading like tons of comments, because when I first started, like you're reading these troll comments and you're like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, it started to like, you know, and then I was like, I'm done. Like, I'll pick stuff here and there and or respond to stuff here and there, but no longer like does it, you know, I don't care. I really don't care, because I'm here to please God. That's why I'm on this planet. I'm here to do what he's called me to do. And people are not going to like you. If you stand for something, people are not going to like you. And if you have no enemies, if everybody loves you, then you're doing it wrong. So you're going to have people that are like, please stop talking, or you don't know what you're talking about, or they're going to insult you. And I quickly learned that the trolls, when they don't have a good argument, they always try to insult you personally. So they'll insert your looks, they'll insert your appearance, they'll insert your intelligence, but they will not debate you on the policies themselves. So then, you know, that right there, you automatically know you're dealing with someone that doesn't know what they're talking about if they're just going to insult you. So I've kind of learned to deal with it and give it to God, right? Like, just that's kind of my philosophy, is give it to God and don't, you know, I'm not here to please the world. I'm in the world, but not of the world, right? So if the world loves me, I'm doing it wrong too.
Totally.
That's exactly right.
Have you ever heard the line that haters are just fans in disguise?
I have a ton of trolls. I have a ton of people. For some reason, they don't leave though. I'm like, at this point, like, you would think you would just kind of move on, but they're constantly like, I have a couple people on one of the channels that I'm on, like, they're under some weird name or whoever, but they constantly comment on every single thing I do. And then everybody else is like, why are you still here? Like, you know, if you hate what she's doing, why do you constantly?
Why do you watch? That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they have to see what you're doing. I mean, that tells me my life's a little bit boring.
Yeah. And just to give you guys kind of a note, the reason why, like, because I saw this, like, my background, as I kind of mentioned, like, I did the whole Screen Actors Guild. I was out in Hollywood. I saw a side of Hollywood that a lot of people don't see. I work for a major celebrity out there. And I realized that just was not my scene. I wasn't supposed to be there. But at the same time, I received a lot of training and did improv comedy. And I realized that that's kind of lacking in the conservative world. Like, we often try to use, like, facts and logic and statistics, but the middle person in the middle is very emotionally driven. Like, most people vote on emotion. They shouldn't, but they do. So if we want to reach people, we have to reach them emotionally, and then you can hit them with facts and logic and statistics and all that stuff. So I thought, well, why don't I reach them, like, on an emotional level? And I think that that's why I have the trolls, because I have reached them on an emotional level and they're there. And I want them there. I want people that don't like me watching what I do, because that I'm reaching an audience that other conservatives won't reach, because they're, you know, it's like, I don't want to throw red meat, really. I want to be out in that field, because we have, in order to win, we have to get the middle. And the middle is emotionally driven. And so that's why I use the comedy and the satire and parody. And even sometimes I'll be, like, really impassioned, because I have to trigger that, you know, that impact, you know, that emotional side, the crying side of people. And so that's kind of my goal. That's my heart, is to reach the middle, to bring them in. I think a lot of people are conservative and they don't even know it. I think that when you start to talk the issues with them, they'll agree with you. And I mean, sorry to keep rambling, but for one example is a person very high up. He's a relative of mine, but he's very high up in a Fortune 500 company. And he identifies as a Democrat leftist. And when we started just talking about policies, he agreed with me, like, gun rights, securing the borders, religious liberty. He agreed, like, 6 out of 10 on major conservative issues. He was like 6 out of 10. So I think he was stunned that, hey, I'm agreeing with her on 6 out of 10, you know, issues. And so I think sometimes when you just have the conversations with people and just start to ask them just basic, hey, where do you stand on this? Or what are your thoughts on this? And what are your thoughts on this? Then they start to realize that they're not as far left as they thought they were. So I found that to happen time and time again.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a good point. And actually I remember Winston Churchill once said, you know, if you're 19 and not a liberal, you don't have a heart. If you're 40 and not a conservative, you don't have a brain.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And again, a lot of folks, you have to sort of tread lightly in a way, because I think, despite what we see and read, and whether it's Twitter or Facebook or any of the blog sites, most people are really hesitant to really state what they believe. And again, on Rachel's site, conservativemama.com, she lays it out really well. what she believes in, you know, and she writes it all out. And I can write, I can, you know, go through a few of them, but I think that's worth knowing is that, you know, she believes and stands for things. And I've always believed that if you fall for anything or if you believe in nothing, you'll fall for anything. And this is one of the most important points I think most Americans don't seem to get and are highly influenced by a media that is obviously very one-sided. And so they get influenced by one side when they don't even know how to think about an alternative point of view. And then now we're living in a time where alternative points of view to what the mainstream media and what, well, the corporate mainstream media and what is coming out of people's TVs and so forth, they're trying to shut everybody down. And that's not freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. That's not freedom, period. And that's what we need to fight. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have to be speaking up. We have to, even that, if like I say, if it means people won't like you, they won't like you. I have some friends, quote, air quotes, that, you know, they won't like a post on, you know, on Facebook, or they won't, you know, like an Instagram post because they're afraid someone else will see it and saw that they liked it and it could cause some kind of controversy. And I think to myself, like, I would hate to go through life and have no one know where I stood on any issues. Exactly. And they show up at my funeral and they're like, I don't really know where she stood on anything. I mean, I want it to be clear, you know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're called here. We're here for such a time as this. You know, we're to speak truth. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom is under attack. We're called to fight for freedom, to have a voice. And I want people to know me in like my family, my close loved ones. I don't have to have the world know me, but I want, like, when people show up and, you know, it's, you know, my eulogy, I want it to be clear where I stood on stuff. I don't want it to be like, I really don't know who she was or what she stood for. She's nice. She cooked a mean, you know, mac and cheese. I want it to be like, we know who she was. We know what she stood for. We know, have an impact, right? I grew up with my dad every day saying, before I would go off to school, make a difference.
Yes.
Make
yes.
a difference. And, mm-hmm. and I want to make a difference, you know, even if it's just in your family. Like, I talk to moms all the time, like, your kids, like, that they're the closest thing to you. Make a difference in their lives. Let them know who you are and where you stand. Your friends should know where you stand. Your community should know who you are. And if you're afraid to like something, then you're being bullied. And that's not that. I mean, stand up for yourself, because you can't tell your kids to stand up for themselves if you can't stand up for yourself on tiny little things like liking a post and defending why you liked it. That's crazy.
Rachel, I'm going to hold that thought 1 second, because that is right on the head. We're called to make a difference. Absolutely. Every day. I used to tell people quite often, I'd like to be the visible proof of an invisible Jesus by how I treat people and what happens. And they got to know what we believe. We have someone coming on the line here, Rachel, that donates to our program. And they were excited you were going to be on tonight. So they're coming on the line. And I think all I have to do here is say, we're ready for you to come on. She'll be on the phone. This is Linda and Terry Allen from Eagle Rock. And way long, far, many moons ago, as they say in the Indian land.
Where's Eagle Rock? Explain where Eagle Rock is.
Is that in Texas?
Yeah.
No. Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah, we can hear you. You can turn up your volume just a little. We can hear you, Linda.
Okay, I hope so. I had to actually call, and now is that better?
That's perfect.
Good line.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to. He's the technical one, you know. So, okay. Now, if you can hear me, I've known Joe for, let me see, as he says, about 200 years. actually, it was seventh grade. we just age very nicely, and he's been a friend, a talented, good man, and we were cheerleaders together, thespians together, we sang together, And so I followed what he's done with his life. And we support this show and the really wonderful and knowledgeable co-hosts, and you're fun. and for many reasons, we listen because there are a variety of topics. Like today's topic, I'm getting a big kick out of it. The health and wellness issues, because we're 200 years old, it's important. And politics, like this going on. I mean, the fact that we're really being bullied. Faith, education, a lot of interesting things, topics, and how to live better and differently in really difficult times. I like the fact that it's not censored, as so many things are being right now, which is pretty ugly. And my parents always taught me to be an independent thinker, so I vary on what I think, even. But I think your topics raise my expectations for a better future. And now that I've used up the time, here's my husband.
You did great.
Thank you.
Yes, Rob would like to talk to my husband because he was in aerospace. So a lot of the things that Rob probably flew, my husband had stuff on the plane, like grips and trim switches.
Well, I'm glad I'm not dead because somebody screwed up in the aerospace engineering business. Thank you for helping me live.
No, he was quality control, and it was...
Yeah, we're glad that didn't happen.
Even more important.
Yes. I was glad. Every plane I get on to, I ask him... Is this a good one? Is this a safe one? Are we okay?
I used to do that too.
Oh, God, it's not an earbud.
It still does.
I still do. Yeah.
So, anyway. Rob always checked for a parachute.
I hate flying now.
He's afraid to fly.
Yeah.
Because he can't do it.
No ejection seat. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Commercial airline.
Terry lobbied for those on every 737, but it didn't come through. But anyway. Hey, Linda and Terry, thank you so much. And thanks for donating to Raising Expectations. And thanks for giving us opportunities to bring people like Rachel to be with us tonight and to be able to share and to let others know the great sight that she has and what she does in sharing facts and truth and helping us to take a stand, huh, Rachel? Yes. And Linda and Terry, our prayers are with you, and we'll be hearing from you again. And thanks for your donations. Again, you go, as they do, you just go to our website and you bring it up right there. And right there, there's a big button that says donation. And when you hit that, it'll bring up a little thing from PayPal, and you're able to give as your heart leads. And every little bit helps us to keep coming to you. So God bless you, Linda and Terry. Yes. Thanks for being
Thank
with
you.
Us tonight. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
And be sure to send Rachel $1 million. Okay?
Rachel, okay. Thanks for being with us. You know what? That's the first time we've kind of done that. And Linda's dad was one of the main professors at USC. So they're Trojan backers all the way from Southern Cal. Yeah. He headed up the art department. She's an incredible artist and loves drama and art. She won all the thespian awards, so you two would really have fun talking to her. But we are a little bit older. Just a little, Rob. No comments. But anyway.
Yeah. Rolling right along. Young and hard.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Right.
Let's go back to that question you brought up, Rachel, where you were talking about wanting to be known for what we believe and where we stand and who we are. And, we so often as people of faith know that when we put our faith in Christ, he lives within. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us that we can draw on to help us to take that stand. Because Evan Say It. You remember Robin? He said, you remember Steph? He talked about the fact that in the old days, the cancel culture, the woke generation, they would simply go after people by taking them and taking them out. They would put them in the prisons and the camps and whatever it might be. They don't have to do that today. All they do now is rob them of who they are by going online and blackmailing them in different ways. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I'm old. I still call it online. By those that are streaming, I'm told it's the new word. But, you know, I've always found that, like Doug Weed has said, and Doug served, he's known six presidents, has served two presidents, Rachel. He would love to know. He's a wonderful man. He said, you know, when we take a stand, like you said, Rachel, and you tell your friends, when people know what we believe and why we are believing that, mm-hmm. we come along like our friend James Robbins that wrote The Erasing of America. And he says, just stand strong, stand into this, and let God work. And the nation will turn around. But I got to admit, Rob and Stephanie and Nancy, it's a lot easier for me to stand strong when I watch Conservative Mama.
Well, oh, yeah, that's not too hard to do. And by the way, I think it was Cal Thomas that wrote The Erasing of America, a highly recommended book. But
didn't Evan say adopt a Democrat?
Yeah, he Evan,
was yeah. his thing. Adopt
a Democrat.
I like that.
If everybody did that,
yeah.
Then there wouldn't be any more.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Rachel, Evan say it was a comedian or is a comedian, conservative comedian. And he wrote a book that when we had him on a couple months ago, it was called The Woke Supremacy. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a great, and it was a short book, and I highly recommend if you can read it, about this whole wokeness issue is really, part of a socialist, leftist indoctrination process that unfortunately so many people are buying into. We also had, I think it was the week afterwards, we had Kurt Schlichter on, who is another conservative comedian and a former Army colonel and a novelist, and he writes for Town Hall, and he's hilarious. We had him on, and we were all in stitches, but seriously, he writes some really pertinent stuff. Today, he wrote an article in Town Hall about how the media hates us, so let's hate them. Mm-hmm. So I think, and again, he does it in a humorous way.
Yes, and that's the whole thing. You know, a lot of people can take it a whole lot easier if it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make it funny, and then it's like, you kind of take it, take the seriousness out of it, even though it's serious.
Right.
But make it humorous as well.
Well, and their side is always serious. And that's why I think we have an advantage because, number one, we're smarter. Number two, we have a better sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And number three, well, we're better looking. And number four, I think we know how to use humor to our advantage. And Rachel, you're a great example of that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. That's just awesome. I love doing it. I love playing the characters. And it's funny. It'll just hit me. Or I'll hear some, news update or something happen. And then I do have to study the left a lot because at the same time, which is like people think this is crazy to say, but you have to have like empathy to play a character, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be truth in the comedy. So you can't have comedy without truth. So there has to be truth involved. And then you also have to have empathy. And I know a lot of leftists. I'm related to some of them. And so I love them. I love them. And I understand why they think the way they think. I'm just mm-hmm. trying to expose why their way of thinking doesn't work. Like it doesn't, mm-hmm. it's not going to solve the problems that they want to solve. And so, I try to do that with all the characters I do play. So.
Yeah, and you do a great job, Rachel. I always try to understand why they think the way they think. And most of the time, it's emotionally based.
Yes.
And it's also based on, a steady diet of New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, LA Times, all the major newspapers in the country, obviously, and HuffPo, and all the usual places where these people get their information, and that's all they're fed. And they don't even think that there might be alternative points of view, and that just drives me insane.
Right, right. And the thing about comedy is, like, let's say you have somebody that's all they're listening to. They're listening to the Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, mm-hmm. and then they stumble upon a satiric video of, a conservative person, and they identify, they see the character, they see themselves, and then they see how it's wrong. Like, it's not good. And there's this moment of like anger, but at the same time, you have their attention. And we have to get their attention. That's the thing. That's my goal, is to get their attention, make them stop, and maybe question. I love having people that don't like me commenting, because it means that I'm engaging a side that doesn't get engaged by the right ever. So
they're paying attention to you.
That's yes. Right.
Whether they like it or not, they're paying attention to you. Mm-hmm. You know,
and maybe they're listening.
Yes.
We just don't know. Have you ever read are you familiar with the Babylon Bee?
Yes.
Aren't they great?
They're awesome. That's great, satire. Yes.
And I read their things, and they even have videos, and they're just so hilarious because they do a lot of very sarcastic, snarky mocking of the current events and things that are going on in the world. And they use humor. They're sort of like the Saturday Night Live of the conservative set online. Yes. Or The Onion, which used to be, you know, a big thing and maybe still is, which came out of my home state of Wisconsin, out of Madison, Wisconsin, which, of course, is the center of communism in the United States these days. But I'm not trying to, you know, stereotype anything.
Right. I think just shining a light on the absurd. Mm-hmm. You know, you find something that's just the dumbest thing ever, and then you just and you're like, you support this, and they're like, no, I don't. And you're like, yes, you do.
Yeah.
And so when you play it and they have to see it, it's like holding up a mirror, and either you deny that's you or you see yourself, and then you start to question. The biggest mm-hmm. thing is, once you can get them to start to question, then you're making progress. Like, that's my goal, is to get them to see it, to recognize, like, okay, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like knife fights. Like, I did a satire
it was great.
I did a satire, it was about a month ago probably, where I play Karen, and I love this character Karen that I play. She's awesome. I mean, and she's a leftist. Like, she's great. Yeah. She's left. Like,
yeah.
But she has, like, ideas that make sense, so she probably is a conservative. She just doesn't know it yet. But just the absurdity of, like, you know, we had this woman that was shot. Sadly, she was shot, but she was about to stab another woman with a knife. And then there was this whole outrage about how, you know, we should have just let them fight. Like LeBron James said, you know, the police officer shouldn't have done anything. And I'm like, do you hear yourself? Do you hear that you're actually saying that we should just let knife fights ensue? And so I was like, I'm going to be a leftist just advocating for knife fights, and nobody can stop me. Like, let's just do it. And it's so stupid, but it's really what they're arguing for. And so when you expose it and you show it to them, it causes some kind of you know, a truth to get right in front of their face. Either they see, you know, eventually my hope is, if they see the truth enough, that something comes up, like something.
And you did a great job with all the knives in your hands, too. I thought that was cool.
The knife part was really good, Rob. There's an old saying that sometimes we're so busy working on the answer, we don't even know what the question is. And you just took care of that, tout sweet, as the Frenchman mm-hmm. would say, by doing what you just said. Because when they look at that answer, it becomes so absurd, they're saying, I'm over here working so hard on an answer, I really don't even understand the question. But nobody's looking or staring at them. We're all laughing. And when we can laugh at ourselves a little in life, do you remember Johnny Cash and The Gospel Road, the movie they made? Well, I'm really going back now. But your dad would remember, Rachel. And the theme song was Walking Down the Gospel Highway. And Jesus was walking. They'd laugh. And Peter reached over and puts John up on his shoulders. And they're all laughing and talking. And they're sharing, laughing at each other. I think sometimes we need to learn, like my parents said, learn to laugh at yourself a little bit and not let it bother
when
you get through. Stephanie, you got a thought on that? Or
I mean, I completely, completely agree. I think we are too hard on ourselves. And I also think that a lot of people aren't willing to have the conversation. Like you were just talking about, if we can start having conversation rather than attacking or name calling or assuming something, most people find that they're closer than they thought they were.
Yeah.
But media, society, you know, they're feeding off this divide, anxiousness, all of this, keep that tension there. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier to just call a name than try to understand someone, right?
So true.
And I love what you said about that really your heart's for the middle, because the middle doesn't have a home so much right now because both parties are a little bit farther on the spectrums, right? And so I love that. I think there's a lot of people that don't truly feel represented. And if they understand that there can be a place for them, that could have a big impact.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and my goal is definitely, because I believe in conservatism. I believe it works. Mm-hmm. I have seen it work. Conservatism goes to the root of the issue and fixes the root issue of something. Liberalism, leftism, it's going and they just, it's like slapping a Band-Aid on a wound. It doesn't solve the problem. And that's what conservatism does. So with the middle, What I see them is that they've got that heart string. There's heartstrings are being pulled by the left, but at the same time they tend to be more fiscally conservative, where they're like, why would you spend more than you take in? Like they kind of have, so they're kind of like, ah, but if you start to reach them on an emotional level, they slowly come over and then they see it. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what I do and what my goal is to do. I'm in Colorado, and so Colorado is a very purple going blue state. And, I love the conservatives here and the Republican Party here, but often I feel like we just talk to each other. And in Colorado, it's like a third Republican, a third independent, and a third are Democrats. And I'm like, if we don't win this, we will never win again. Mm-hmm. So if we don't go after them and get them on an emotional level and then start to feed them the facts and feed them the truth, then we will not win. And, and there's a way to do it. There is a way to do it. You can find the emotional argument for every single thing we believe in. That you could break it down and approach it from that way. And know your audience. I feel like sometimes we don't know who our audience is. Know who you're targeting and then use the emotional argument to get them if they're emotionally led. Like if you're talking to a conservative, they would just want to see the data, the stats. They're like, oh, okay, I got it. But if they're more left-leaning, they need that touch them here before you get them here. So
I read that in that other book. Remember? It has a H and a B on the front. Yeah. Know them in here. That's right. Reach out that way. But the truth, you shall know the truth, right? And the truth shall set you free.
That's it.
Cool. Hey, we've got about 5 minutes. Rob, you got a question? Anybody want to?
Well, I can talk for longer than 5 minutes, but I won't.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. I'm not sure. Rachel, are you familiar with the name Scott Pressler?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm trying to get him on the show. Yeah. He's been bouncing around from state to state and city to city for the last, 2 months or so. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm trying to get his schedule firmed up enough, he's bouncing to another state. I think he was just in Wisconsin recently. Yeah. But we're going to have him on at some point. But I think, he's a great representative of everything that you believe in and stand for, that we believe and stand for. But there's a few minor differences that to us, we don't care. We don't care about his orientation. We don't care about his, obviously, skin color. But he's got a message, and his message is powerful and influential. And he's been meeting both large groups of people by the hundreds and small groups of like local election officials in small towns. And he's just done an awesome job. And again, I'm hoping to get him on in the next couple months once his travel schedule is down. But he's definitely a guy worth following, watching, and paying attention to, because he's young, because we're all youthful. Not Stephanie so much, and certainly not you, Rachel, but or Nancy or Joe. But I mean, I'm serious geezerhood here. So the guys that are younger, like Pressler and some of the young talk show folks, they're the ones that are really going to end up, I think, influencing people.
The younger generation.
The younger generation.
They actually need it.
Yeah, they need it the most.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of conservatives out there that are reaching the younger, and I think the pendulum swings. Like, I really do. I think that, you know, this wokeness that everyone is experiencing right now, it's, and this is what you have to think, and this is only what you can say. It's natural for younger people to rebel against what they're being told to do. And so I think that this in the long run is going to have a reverse effect. You can only say this, you can only post this, you can only look at this, you can only, and people don't want to be told what to do. Most people don't. It's not in our nature to be told what we can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're going to see kind of like a rebellion. I think that there's only so much that you can do that to a younger generation until they're like,
I can't do that. Then they're going to start rebelling the other way. So,
yeah, right.
And that's one of the things that frightens me, because I'm seeing, like, for the last, 40 or 50 years, this indoctrination creep going into public schools, higher education. People talk about, well, they're being indoctrinated and not educated. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And that's one of the things that bothers me, is that I don't see enough rebellion in public schools, right, the universities, to feel like I'm getting that warm and fuzzy feeling, like these guys are going to start acting like classic Americans who, we don't fear things. We are not built on, we're not a nation built on fearful people. We are a nation built on things that don't seem to be very representative of what we're seeing these days. And it may have to do with, everybody's fat, dumb, and happy and wants to stay that way rather than fight. And I think we're in a stage where we're going to have to fight. And keep the country the way we know it needs to be and should be and can be.
Right. And I think we got to start with our education, because they're just little indoctrination centers, really. But there are parents out there that are pushing their children to think. I mean, and it's easy to get caught up, like everybody goes and they're indoctrinated. Like, I went to a liberal university and I was able to stand on my own two feet and recognize what this guy was saying and how I did not identify with it. And I was like, you're weird. And I came out still, a conservative, free thinker. And my son, who's 9, his teacher, he goes, I want to encourage them to even question me. And, make sure, am I telling you the truth? You need to figure it out. Am I telling you the truth? And it's like the old school question authority, but really we should be questioning. And we've seen a total shutdown of anyone questioning anything over the last year and a half. And if you do, it's like you're censored, banned, demonetized, all of that, if you question things. But I think at some point it's going to start to tip. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. But I think at some point people will start to realize that they've been lied to on so many things.
Oh yeah.
And once the revelation that, hey, we've been lied to on so many things, then I think you'll return to questioning again.
That's right.
It's like, well, they shut down questions. And if we would have been able to ask questions, we wouldn't have been lied to. And so it's like the circle. So, and I think we're going to start to see some things exposed here, I'm believing, in the next, coming months, and it'll cause people to say, we need to be questioning more.
Rachel, I got 25 seconds here till the big thing shuts off. So we want to thank you for being with us.
We want you back, Rachel!
We hope to have you back with us. And Stephanie, we're glad you're safe and set there. Give Tank a hug for us. And hug your kids and tell them. And Rachel, thanks for coming on tonight. Everybody that's tuned in tonight, we just thank you for being with us. And we'll look forward to seeing you again real soon. Next week, check the program all week long. It'll be up and running for you. Again, God bless you, Rachel.
God bless you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Mama. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Hi, conservative mama.
We love you.
Bye.
Hope to have you back.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom, It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.